go ahead and get started this morning. Well, I know young people here, so I guess all y'all be standing out here with me. But how many got your good old Bible this morning? If it's King James, boy, you brought something worth bringing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. About 8 Bibles here this morning. And we'll get right into our Sunday school lesson this morning. Good to have our visitors here this morning. And I'm looking forward to hear what the Lord has put on their heart. And I get an opportunity like y'all sit down this morning, pull up to the table of the Lord. And all the things of God are good. The Bible said nothing to be refused. I've sat down some tables and I had second thoughts. One thing about the table of the Lord, amen, He puts good things on there. We do well to take heed, amen. But our lesson this morning, our first lesson in this year of 2013, is on Christ, forgiveness, and love. And I say praise God that our Lord has forgiveness and love. The Bible talks about the love of God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible said herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. Gave His Son to be propitiation for our sins. And God is a God of love. Matter of fact, the Bible said God is love. Amen. Our golden text is Luke 7, verse 50. And He said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. Our introduction to this lesson, if you want to open up your Bible to Luke chapter number 7, I'd recommend that. Luke chapter number 7, our lesson takes place verse 36 through verse 50. Luke chapter number 7. Our introduction, Jesus looks for opportunities to teach truth and to make manifest His love. And I think all preachers are like Jesus in that aspect, look for opportunities. But often in the midst of controversy, it's when He does His greatest work, greatest opportunities arise. Sometimes openly, sometimes secretly. I saw God work on me and nobody even knew it. Good to see you this morning, Luke, Jesse. I didn't think we'd have no young people, but it looks like we do. And if our young people want to go to their Sunday school class, those that teach the young, I can go back there and teach them. Good to have young people this morning. Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days draw nigh, and thou sayest I have no pleasure in them. It's good to teach young people about the Lord and the Word of God. But Jesus looks for opportunity. And sometimes He works on people secretly. And I don't always know what God's doing. I always like to see Him working. I like to see the works of God manifest. I like to see Him do His mighty works in our midst. I like to see tears run down cheeks. I like to see hands go up. I like to hear people shout, amen. I like to hear people, you know, I'm talking about get blessed. I like to hear them, you know, when they're listening, amen. But God does work. Looks for opportunities to work. But sometimes an act of kindness on His part or on the part of someone else, thought unworthy, God works through that. And prejustice, that means, you know, you see other people's faults, but somehow or another you got a beam in your eye and you can't see yours. But you don't really have no problem seeing other people's faults. But prejustice, spoken openly or secretly, is almost always sure to bring forth a reproof. Now, I'm not above the Word of God, and you're not either. Jesus said if His Word falls on you, He said it'll grind you to powder. Amen. He said if you'll fall on this Word, you will heal. Right, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, the men ought not live by bread alone. As you can tell by looking at me, I ain't never missed a meal. But He said by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It was a sad day when they took the Bible out of our schools. Amen. Somebody wants to know why all this killing's going on. Two things. One is we're in an end to the beginning of sorrows. Second of all, we're reaping But we've been sowing. We've been sowing the seeds of corruption. They're coming up now. You want to know why these children are killing one another? Why all these people are being senselessly murdered? Nobody, just don't make no sense the way you look at it. Just take the Word of God. It'll make sense. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, Jesus, He's a master when it comes to presenting truth. And He's skillful. When He brings forth a reproof, and lots of times He'll employ a third person account or a parable to bring home the truth. And the Bible does tell us to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Jesus said, John 17:17, Thy word is truth. By the way, for what it's worth, the Holy Spirit won't bear witness with nothing but truth. Someone said the truth's got a certain ring to it. What that ring is the witness of the Holy Spirit with the truth. Amen, Sister Anita. And I'm glad for that witness, because I don't always know what I need to do. And I've got some help. Amen. Thanks to that Holy Spirit, we got all the help we need. But bring home the truth. In our lesson today, we see Jesus rising in an occasion here. And there's a certain Pharisee, and there's plenty of them today. Don't think this message is outdated. I may not get to preach today, but I'm going to thoroughly teach this lesson. So he that hath ears, let him hear. But there's a certain Pharisee. His name is Simon, or Simeon. I don't know how you pronounce it there. But he in his heart, he's secretly criticizing Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Bible says God's greater in our heart and knows all things. Old Brother Eddie may not know. You fool me, not even have to try all that hard. But you ain't going to fool God. He knows every thought. He knows you down, setting you up, rises. Knows your thoughts are far off. Most amazing thing, knows everything about me, still loves me. Amen. That's amazing. Amen. But he criticizes Jesus. And the reason he criticized him for allowing a woman of the city to come and take liberties that only a respectable woman should be allowed to take. And to him, it looks like, you know, she's committing some atrocity, some sacred sin. She's taking upon herself liberties that are not for her to take. And these acts that she did produced a godly sorrow. And the Bible does say godly sorrow, work of repentance, not to be repented of. It is good to be sorrowed after a godly sort. But it produced godly sorrow. Not, she wasn't pretending, she wasn't acting, this wasn't staged. But the Pharisee, he couldn't see anything but, you know, her sin, her being a sinner. And the Pharisee with whom he was eating, he passed judgment. Therefore, Jesus responded, and listen, ask God. Don't miss it. Now, there's a lot more about Jesus. The world do well to learn more about Him. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And I believe we've got a lot more to learn about Jesus. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now, when you look at Jesus, and you see something other than God, you'll be like that rich young ruler come running to Jesus. What good thing shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, why call me good? There's none good but God, and all he could see was a good master. The Lord gave him an opportunity there to acknowledge him as God, and he didn't. And the Lord said, if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said, which? The Lord gave him three or four. But I just want you to know this. If you can't see Jesus as God, then you're missing it all. Amen. The Bible said, great mystery, God was manifested in the flesh. God came down in likeness of sample flesh, yet He was without sin, tempted in all ways as we are. But He didn't fall like we do. But buddy, He triumphed over sin, rose up victorious, left out with the keys of death and hell. And buddy, I'm telling you what, He showed Himself to be God when He got up. Amen? But anyway, Jesus here, He responds, and don't miss this, He responds as God to the demands of repentance as manifested by the woman, and forgiveness was freely given. Who can forgive sin but God only? He forgave. He said, your sins are forgiven. But Jesus did not forget the Pharisees' need as He forgave this woman. Now listen, she's a sinner. Her sins are great. But forgiving her sins is one thing, but that Pharisee had some need also. And He didn't forget about that Pharisee's need. And Jesus left him without an excuse. Never again will the prejustice of this Pharisee be accepted as a valid reason for withdrawing himself from one who comes in love to Christ. We're not no better. We need to get the mote out of our eye. We need to start seeing through the eyes of our Savior. That said, he that whole need not a physician, but they that be sick. I like to see sinners come into church. Everybody don't come in like old Brother Eddie got the dudes on, and I ain't got no hair, but what I got it parted best I can. We had a guy tell us one time he's going to bring some of the boys from the jail up here, and I said, please bring them. I said, I want them on the front row. I want them to know God loves them. I want them to know God's will towards them is good. I want to tell them that in Christ Jesus there is hope. And it's a hope that makes it not a shame. Sinners need to hear the good news. Jesus came this world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I'm chief, He'll save them. He's able to save. He'll save to the uttermost, from the guttermost. He'll do it. Man, the good news is He come to seek and save. But this Pharisee had needs great as, or maybe even greater than this woman that was a sinner. Her sin couldn't be hid, but neither could his. And this Pharisee, he had judgment about this woman that he'd been better off not to even let it in his heart. So let's get in our lesson here this morning. That's a lot of introduction here. I'm sorry. Our lesson starts in verse 36 of Luke chapter 7. And it says, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat meat with him. Ain't that something you can ask Jesus to come to your house? You know, my little granddaughter, last night, she was sitting down at the table eating, and I said, honey, I said, did you ask the Lord to bless your food? And she stopped right there what she was doing, and she said, Lord, I'm sorry. I want you to bless my food, and I want to be a blessing. Your little, small, little 8-year-old granddaughter. But you know, when you turn thanks on your food, you know what you're doing? You're inviting the Lord.
Amen.
Have sup with you and you with Him. I don't want to be like a dog. I've been there 34 years, man. I just sit down and eat. I didn't look up, see where it come from. I didn't thank nobody. Matter of fact, I thought God owed me something. But it was a good day when I realized out of God's hand He feed the whole world. Now I don't forget to say, Lord, thank you for having an appetite. Thank you for having health. Thank you for having food on my table. I don't forget that now. Oh no. That Pharisee, he desired Jesus to come eat with him, and buddy, he went. Look at her. He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. He was friendly towards Jesus, but that's about it. But possibly, now the lesson brought out a lot of things, and they're not etched in stone, but he was possibly impressed by the miracles and the teaching of Jesus and wanted to know more about Him and wanted to have a more clear understanding of Him that he might learn more. Or maybe he just wanted to have the honor of having Jesus over and entertaining a great teacher. I don't know. But this Pharisee invited Jesus to eat with him, and he went there and sat down to eat. And by the way, Jesus will go anywhere that he's welcome. Amen?
Amen.
I think a lot of people there having church, and the Lord's outside saying, sure would like to come in. He purchased the church with His own blood. It belongs to Him all. It's sad. You read there in Revelation chapter 3, He said, I'm on the outside saying, if any man open up, I'll come and sup with him, him with me. We use that lots of time to tell lost people, let Jesus in, but He's knocking on the door of the church. But He'll go where He's welcome. And it's safe For us to go where duty calls us, I'm not going to go just anywhere. Now listen, I'm saved as much as anybody in here. I don't think there's any man in here more saved than I am. And if there is, I'll let him speak right now and not hold his peace. But I'll tell you right now, I'm measured up to the standard of salvation April 27, 1988, when I knelt down as lost as a man could be and confessed that I was a sinner and asked God to forgive me and save me. And I said, Lord, the best way I know how, right here, right now, I'm asking you to save me. And to my amazement and the amazement of everybody else, God saved me that day. And I got up, looked in the mirror, and the mirror couldn't show it. But I couldn't hide it neither. My mama called me a fanatic, and Daddy scared death of me. But I'll tell you what, when Jesus moves in, buddy, it'll show up somewhere, amen. But I'm saved. Now, I don't want to go just anywhere. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us not to have fellowship with unfruitful works of righteousness, but rather reprove them. And we do need to be careful where we go. In Acts 16, verse 6, the Bible says they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the Word of God in Asia. That sounds like that wouldn't be the will of God. But I just want you to know right now, God does lead. And the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we do need to be led of God in some matters. I got in trouble one time thinking otherwise. I don't go there no more. But anyway, I'm glad God's bigger than me and He's able to help me to understand. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 17, it talks about understanding what the will of the Lord is. And we do need to have discernment. There are some places I don't need to go. There are some things I don't need to do. And we ought to all realize, you know, we need to be led of God in what we do. But beware of the slush pits of sin unless God leads you there. I'll tell you right now, I'm not afraid to go in a bar. I'm not afraid. I've been in a max security prison. You hear one of them doors shut in a max security prison, you'll know you're in prison. I mean, when that door shuts, I've never heard such a sound in my life. And I looked up there and there's two men behind bulletproof glass with looks that could kill, but that's not all they had. They had two AK-47. They just daring you for an opportunity to use them. And I did behave myself wisely. Yes, sir. But verse 37 said, while he's sitting there at this table, at this Pharisee's house, he sat down to eat. Behold, there a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Now this woman is a sinner, says she was a sinner. Then she'd been deep in sin. You know, I don't know about you. Some reason that I think, you know, some sins are greater than others. But the Bible said to him that knoweth to do good to him that sin. There's some sins, you know, God don't even tolerate. He just kills them right there. And you look at Ananias, Sapphira, dead. And then there's other sins. For some reason or other, God's long-suffering about them. He'll let them, you know, continue to sin a little bit. I mean, He said He gave Jezebel space to repent. But she's about as wicked as I know. But He said she repented not. But this woman had been deep in sin. She'd been regarded as a bad character, unchaste. And she was so notorious a sinner that Simon recognized her. And she was what I'd call, I guess, a well-known sinner. That's where the way it was before I met Jesus. Man, I'll tell you what, it was a good day when another sinner that I've worked with out there at Donnelly's, I worked there for 32 years. But it was a good day when I was sitting in there in the break room. And this guy's stepdad came to me and he said, Eddie, he said, you're saved now. And my stepson, Mark Fisher, he said he's lost. And he said, I want you to talk to him about his soul. He said, I want him to get saved. And I said, Sam, you pray for me. God, give me an opportunity and I will. That's what you need to do. And I'm sitting there in my break room in there. And I'm in there all by myself because I got a Bible open up. Ain't nobody going to come in there. You know what I mean? I mean, they're going to go out there where they're smoking and talking that trash like I used to. But I looked up while I'm sitting there reading my Bible. Mark Fisher walked by. And I said, Lord, there he goes. About soon I said, Lord, there he goes. Here he come back. And to my amazement, Mark Fisher walked in there in the break room where I was. Freddie, I was wondering, what am I going to say? What do I need to say? How do I need to say it? I mean, I've been praying for an opportunity to talk to this lost man about his soul. Here he walks in here, sits down right across the table in front of me. I'm sitting there reading my Bible, and I'm looking at him face to face, wondering what to say, and I didn't have to worry about nothing. He spoke first. You know what he said? He said, "I want what you got." Whew, glory. Man, if we could just live a life that people want what we got. Amen?
Amen.
And I said, "Mark, you just need to tell Jesus what you just told me." Mark Fisher did. Mark Fisher got saved. You see, Jonah said, "Salvation's of the Lord." All I do is mess it up every time I make a talk about it. But I'll tell you what, buddy, God does all things well. But Mark Fisher saw a difference in Eddie Wade. Such a difference, it could not be denied. It wouldn't go away. Man, the day I got baptized, a man that I worked with was there at my baptism service there. And man, I tell you what, they baptized me and he come up there and he said, "I refuse to believe that God saved someone like you." I said, "I couldn't argue that issue at all, Mark." That boy's name was Mark Bunch. But I said he did. He said, "Tell me about it." And I told him how I got saved. He said, "I believe it now." Hallelujah. I'm glad. I'm glad, praise God, God's in the saving business. Amen. Come on in, honey. He's in the saving business. Come on in. Yeah. But she's a well-known sinner, and she had heard that Jesus sat down at meat and entered uninvited. I'll tell you right now, I don't care how big a sinner they are. I don't care how rough they are. I don't care. Bring them. Because I got good news. All right, come on in. Good to have you this morning. Hallelujah. The Bible is good news. Only bad news in the Bible is if you turn the good news down. And it's about as bad as it gets, amen. But she heard that Jesus was in the house and she came in uninvited. Let me say this, uninvited guests are welcome to come and visit Jesus. And this Pharisee looked at it different. He thought, "Who does she think she is coming in my house?" Oh, come on in, hallelujah. We're going to have a revival here in a minute, glory. Amen. But this woman here, she come in uninvited, and the Pharisee looked at her, and the Pharisee said within himself, "Who does she think she is? She's a sinner. Come in here in my house. I got Jesus in here." Let me say this. She'd heard about Jesus. You know, that's what brings them. Mark chapter 2, verse 2 said, "When it was north abroad that Jesus was in the house, there was no room to contain them." Well, if we could just get the word out, Brother James, that Jesus is in the house. I want to go where He is, Brother Melvin. I like to hear men preach about Jesus. I like to hear men sing about Jesus. Amen. I can't sing a lick, but I thank God for men that can. Amen. As far as I'm concerned, if you ain't going to sing about Jesus, I ain't interested in listening. If you'll sing about Him, I'm ready to hear it. Amen. You preach about Jesus, I'm ready to hear it. I'll amen. Amen. Well, oh, listen. She'd heard about this Jesus. Maybe she'd heard about some of His healing and some of His forgiveness, and maybe her faith here being manifested caused her to come, and maybe she'd heard about Him saying, "Thy sins are forgiven thee," and we need to be careful about those that God sends and not prejudge them nor what He's doing. I've saw God do things. I've not been saved all that long. I mean, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm not really any pedigree preacher. I'm just saved, called to preach. That's all I am. But I have seen a lot in 24 years. I've saw men get up cussing, go out the back door. I've saw them broke, and I mean literally crawling their hands and knees to this altar. As a matter of fact, since I've been up here, I saw one young lady, her boyfriend had to carry her. She couldn't even walk up here. Saw her get saved. Oh yeah, there's room at the cross. Sure enough. But we never know what God's doing. Anyway, hope may have been manifested in her heart and maybe in her soul by His great invitation, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Maybe her soul has been burdened and maybe the load's getting heavy. Maybe she's getting weary. Living life of sin. Boy, I wish we would get sick of sin. Man, you listen to me. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all.
Right.
We need to get out of this mess about the gray area.
Right.
Molly, it needs to be either white or black. I don't know what in the world we think we can make marriages with heathenistic nations and somehow enjoying some sins and say it's okay. I've had it. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I hope I don't get to preach today because I'm pretty rough. My feathers are pretty ruffled right now. And I told Brother Melvin, if I do preach today, I said, y'all be sure and congregate in the back row because I'll be spitting it far. But oh me, I'm telling you, buddy, maybe she'd had enough of sin, and I wish we would. I wish we'd have our fill. But the hope that he brought to her had led her to seek him, and to her he was her only source of help. Now, bear with me here. I know we're going to be long in this lesson. I promise you I'll be as brief as I can. Verse 38 said, she stood at his feet behind him. Now that shows a lot of humility. That means she thought herself not worthy to come up and look him in the face. She's behind him. She's weeping. And as she's weeping, she begins to wash his feet with tears. And did wipe them. Boy, I'd like to see some of this. Who said that? Amen, Sister Molly. We've come down, the Bible said, a rebellious people dwell in a dry land. We've become, good to see you, Brother Richard. We've become so rebellious in our heart. I used to see men preach and tears, man, just run off of their cheeks like leaking faucet. I don't know what happened, boy, but we need to get back to that. Amen. Boy, she had plenty of them. And I'll tell you what, I wish we had plenty of them. The Bible said, blessed is he who walks through the valley of the... I can't remember. No, the valley of the... maketh it a well. I can't spit the word out. Yeah. They runs through that valley, walks through the valley of Becker or something like that, makes it a well. I mean, he's got plenty of tears, amen. But she's got tears. She's weeping. And with those tears, she washes his feet. And then wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now for those of you who don't know, a woman's hair is given her for her glory. Yeah. She put her glory on him, Sister Gayla. She said, not mine but thine. She had that John the Baptist attitude, I must decrease, he must increase. She took the best she had and put it on his feet, a gift. She gave her glory to Jesus. Man, you're talking about a blessed event right here. She's showing us how it's supposed to be done. You know, there was nothing to prevent this woman from coming. But now that she has come, she's come for this purpose, to anoint his feet. And just as she's preparing to pay him this homage, Sister Margaret, she burst into tears. I like to see that. I like it when you can't, you know, I say when you get them can't help us, don't worry about it.
Amen.
Amen. Man, I'm telling you, I like to see it when the dam breaks. I like to see it when the makeup melts and the mascara runs down and look like Alice Cooper. Don't bother me a bit. I'd like to see more of it. Amen. But I'll tell you what, buddy, she couldn't keep from weeping, Brother Melvin. Just to be in his presence was just too much. Man, just to be in the presence of one as holy as Jesus. I mean, draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. Amen. He's rewarded them that diligently seek him. But get this moment. I mean, here she is. She's got to him. He's here. She's weeping. She's washing his feet. She's wiping with her hairs. She can't keep from weeping. Man, if we could just get some of that today. Amen. She's burst into tears because of her sins, her unworthiness, because she's rendering such a service on one so holy as he is. Her tears are streaming down upon the Lord's feet as she begins to wash his feet with those tears. This was an expression of deep, humble penance of the soul. Now, we have these dry-eyed invitations. Like I said, I've been saved 24 years, but I remember back when they used to give an invitation and you could hear people weeping. And I mean weeping out loud, sobbing, because they're sorry for the way they live. They're sorry for their sins. Now, we don't have that today. I do agree we've come down to today. Love of many is wax cold. Man, I'm telling you, that's all we are anymore is wax. But It wasn't that way here. This woman here, buddy, this is real. She's got deep expression of grief, humility, and penance of her soul. And she did wipe his feet with the hairs of her head. She wiped them with her hair. She took the woman's chief ornament and took it to wipe the feet of her Savior. It was the most possible expression of love and devotion that she could do as a sinner. Her actions spoke of her great love, hope, and gratitude. And if that wasn't enough, the Bible said, and she kissed his feet. A compound word denoting special tenderness that she bestowed upon him. She could not detest and anointed those feet with the ointment that she brought. Now you've got a similar incident like this in the Old Testament. It's in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 27. There's a Shulamite woman, and she's coming, and Elisha sees her, and man, he's wondering, what in the world is she doing? And she's coming, buddy. And she runs to Elisha, the man of God, and she reaches down, grabs him by the feet. And that old Pharisee, Gehazi, his servant, like this Pharisee, man, he went down there immediately to get her and grasp her away from Elisha. And Elisha said, let her alone. I guess that's what Jesus must have thought to this Pharisee. Let her alone, boy. Let her alone. Now, all the difference between Elisha and Jesus is Elisha didn't know what the problem was. He said, the Lord has not revealed it to me. Sometimes I'm like Elisha. God doing something, I don't understand it, Jesse. But a similar situation there. A woman grabbed hold of the feet of a man of God. Because her son's dead. This woman here, similar. She's come to the feet of Jesus because her sins are great. Amen. Elisha said, let her alone. Her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord have not revealed unto me what the problem is. You know, I don't know everything. Man, we ain't halfway through this lesson. Oh, me. But she gave the best she had to him and for him. She gave it as a treasure of love and respect to anoint him with this costly ointment in the place of oil was an extravagant honor that she bestowed upon him. Now, verse 39, here's where the Pharisees' needs come in. Now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, now listen, this word right here is real important. If he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. Now, I want you to notice that the Bible said that he spake within himself. In other words, he didn't say this audibly, it was just a thought in his heart. Now, Matthew chapter 9, verse 4, Luke chapter 11, verse 17, the Bible talks about Jesus knowing their thoughts. Ain't that something? God knows what you're thinking right now. He knows how much you love Him. He knows everything about you. Amen. But He spake within Himself, and His thought was this right here. This man, if he were a prophet, would have known. Now that's a terrible mistake right there, because he's calling the Lord a man, and then he's also questioning him about being, and he was a prophet. Moses said, the Lord will raise up unto you a prophet like unto me, and him shall you hear. What you got there, Brother Melvin?
Jesus said he knows
you're
a prophet, didn't
he? Yeah. Yeah, he did. That's right. Now, the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, to lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. But also in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11, you got a man named Naaman, he's a leper. Man, he got preconceived ideas about how God's going to help him. I mean, that little Egyptian maid, or that little Hebrew maid said, would to God that my Lord would go to Jerusalem as a prophet there. Naaman, he got mad because the prophet wouldn't even come out to him. He just sent word out there to him, told him to go dip in Jordan 7 times. He got mad, left in anger, and his statement was, I thought he would come out to me and put his hand on the place and call upon his God and recover me from my leprosy. He wanted one of them Benny Hinn experiences, I guess. I don't know. I'll tell you right now, I'll take what God offers. Amen. But he had a preconceived idea about this whole matter, and it wasn't right. But according to Jewish teachings, it was not permitted for anyone to have any kind of contact with a sinner, because that would defile the person. And if Jesus was a prophet, he'd know this. Well, by the way, he was a prophet. He did know this. Amen. Then he allowed her to touch him. And let me say this, the Lord allow you to touch him. The Bible said he's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Don't dial 911. Dial Jesus. Amen. You need help. The psalmist said, I'll look to the hills which come of my help. My help come up from the Lord. Psalm 122, verse 1. The psalmist said in Psalms 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in time of trouble. The psalmist said in Psalms 27, verse 13, I'd fainted lest I believed to see the goodness of the Lord and land of the living. I'm going to tell you right now, I know where to go when I get in trouble. Amen. But he allowed her to touch him. A touch by such a person as her. Man, oh man, the critical judgment of this Pharisee. He said that could not but render one such as him unclean. Now Simon, thank you Brother Melvin, appreciate that. Simon here, he's just playing the part of you and me. That's all he's doing. Man, I don't want to hinder the work of God. I'll be honest with you, I'd rather have more discernment, more sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and the work of God. But I catch myself like Simon sometimes thinking I've got it all figured out. But Simon did not have the true interpretation of this event. He did not have the true revelation of this prophet. And Jesus was the one that came to save sinners, to come to help. And his purpose was not to avoid them, but his purpose was to come to them and to forgive them and to save them. And the real character of Jesus is manifested in this event. But also the real character of this woman is also manifested. He knew she'd sinned. Matter of fact, she was a desperate sinner. Let me say this. Now, back up, old Brother Eddie, before I got saved. Let me tell you something about a desperate sinner. Somehow or another, my family got me to come to church. Good Lord, I hate to even go back here. Man, oh man, oh man. I'd made fun about my cousin's wife getting saved. Sandra Ford. My wife, my godly wife, we've been married, she corrected me, Margaret, 37 years. She said, don't add another year, it's 37. I thought we'd been married 38, and I stand corrected. No wonder they call them helpmate for the man. But my wife told me about my cousin's wife getting saved, Sandra Ford, and I went over there. My whole purpose was not to talk to her about getting saved, but to talk to her husband, try to keep him getting saved, because he's my drinking buddy. I thought I was going to lose my drinking buddy. And I went over there loaded to the hilt. I mean, I'm not bragging about this, but I'll just tell you how sinners are. I had the truck loaded down with liquor, drink, and we sat there in his driveway and made fun of her. And I took God's name in vain. I made fun of the church. I said all kinds of things. I wished I could take them back, but I can't. And that night I drove home, as I'm making fun of his wife, she's the second one in line. I got baptized that day, she's the one in front of me. Ain't that amazing? God do something like that, bring a man around, humiliate him to stand behind the one he made fun of. But anyway, I was the next one in line behind her, and she got baptized. But as we're running her down, he said, Eddie, he said, Sandy's getting baptized 2 weeks from now. He said, that ain't like Sandy, is it, Eddie? And I said, there you go, they'll have you down there baptizing you. It wasn't him, it was me. He did get saved, get baptized, by the way. It took a little longer for him than me, but I drove home that night. I had to put one hand over one eye because I was seeing double. I had to get up in the windshield and look because I couldn't tell how far away the cars were to keep running over people. And when I finally got on Highway 6880, God being merciful to me, there was no one else on the road but me. And I cleaned this ditch out a while, and I cleaned that ditch out a while. And somebody know, like a slot car, I made it by the ditches home. And I got up the next morning, I bragged to my cousin, I said, tomorrow Sunday, if you want to, you can go fishing with me. If not, go to church, your wife, whatever you want to do, let me know. That next morning, as I bragged to him about going fishing, I started getting ready, still drunk from Saturday night, Sunday morning, still hangover drunk. Getting ready to go fishing. My bedroom door opened up, and a little 8-year-old boy come through that bedroom door. Buddy, he had those tears. Man, he couldn't hold them back. They was running off his cheeks. Walked up to his drunk daddy, and he said, Daddy, he said, will you please go to church with me today? For the first time in my life, Brother James, I saw the real Eddie Wade. Ain't that amazing? I mean, he pulled all the veneer back, and I got a good look at Eddie Wade, and I have to admit, Brother, I didn't like what I saw. It knocked some bark off my head. It hit me, Brother Melvin, in the heart. I buckled. I fell down to my knees. I choked on the words. It liked to kill me to let them come out. But I said, son, of course they'd go to church with you today. And my little boy went running down that hall. Mama, Daddy's going to church with me today. And I'm back there with the devil, and we're going round three, boy. Wasn't too easy. I drove Brother Melvin over at Bethel Baptist Church that day. Man, I tell you what, man, the devil out there, buddy, I mean, he had me in a chokehold, boy, and I'm in a half Nelson. My family went on into church, and man, the devil out there, boy, in the awfulest battle ever has been, boy. I'm in a straight 22. There's a yellow streak up my back that wide. I'm having a rough time. That devil said, you open that door, they're going to look down there and nose at you, and they're going to say, who brought him over? Who does he think he is coming over here? I'm like that woman. I'm a notorious great sinner. Wasn't no secret. I wasn't even ashamed of it. I finally got up, went over that doorknob, turned that doorknob, and I mean, I'm telling you, when I opened that doorknob, I just knew, boy, it was going to be humiliating. My pastor saw me. He wasn't my pastor then, but he is now. He run over to me. He said, we're glad to have you. Come on in here. We're glad to have you. Come on in here. I heard for the first time in my life the preaching of the Word of God. Man, I got mad. I was going to hit him in the mouth on the way out the door, Carolyn. I thought, my wife has told him everything I've ever done. I'm going to beat her when we get home. And he's had it, boy. Man, I thought, he has had it. They've conspired together against me. But it wasn't her, it wasn't him. It was God speaking to me as a sinner. Man, that word, the Bible said it won't return void, it'll prosper, and the thing it's sent to do, it kept me coming and going. And when God got done with me, I wasn't in no shape to hit him nor her. But I'll tell you what, they gave the invitation that day. I'm sorry it takes so long in Sunday school. They gave the invitation that day. No, I didn't come forward. The devil nailed my feet to the floor, and I couldn't move neither one of them. But I'll tell you one thing, I wanted to come forward. Yes, sir. I wanted to come up here. But I thought, if I did, what would I do? I don't know what to do. I didn't know to ask to be forgiven. I didn't know to ask to be saved. I didn't know none of that. I've never been in church. I didn't know what to do. And they said, won't you come? Man, I wanted to come. Yeah, I did. But I'll tell you what, as I'm in that battle, a thought came to my mind. I worked with a man named Wendell Shaw. Wendell Shaw had always talked to me about Jesus. Always told me the Lord loved me. Always told me that God saved me. And I thought, if I could just get to Wendell, he could tell me what I need to do. I worked out there at Donnelly's print company. And I go out there, next day's Monday. And I go out there looking for Wendell Shaw. You get like this woman desperate enough, you don't really care. Amen. I found him, Anita. He's in the foreman's office talking to the foreman. I finally found him. I remember opening that door and they're talking about printing. I opened that door and I said, I don't care what neither one of y'all is talking about. I'm lost and going to hell. I need somebody to tell me how to be saved. I wished I could have took a camera and took a picture of their faces. Now you're talking about changing events. I mean, that foreman quoted about 6 verses to me. But the Bible said, a natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them for their foolishness to him. It just didn't do nothing. But Wendell Shaw saw that. Wendell Shaw said, Eddie, I want us to leave right now. We walked outside that foreman's office, Sister Carolyn, with people brushing our shoulders on each side in that hall. Wendell Shaw told me the most astounding thing. He said, Eddie, Jesus loves you, Eddie. He said, Eddie, Jesus wants to save you. He's just waiting for you to ask Him. You know what He did? He said, let me give you this illustration. Now you listen to this. He said, if your little boy had done something wrong and he come to you and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. You remember who got me in church? How in the world could God give him that illustration? Amen. He He said, Eddie, if he come to you and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, Eddie, what would you do? I said, wonder, I'd forgive him. He said, same way with God, Eddie. Man, there was faith swelled up in me. I couldn't wait to get a place to kneel down and ask God to forgive me. And I got saved. But I'll tell you right now, this woman was a desperate sinner. And her sins had brought her to this place. And now she may not have realized that she'd be received, that she'd be forgiven. But I want you to know what brought her there. She was desperate. Let me say this, buddy. Her sins were all forgiven. We know so little about the works of God. I'll be as fast as I can in these remaining verses. Let me go quick as I can. Jesus, verse 40, answered, said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Boy, you better watch it when that happens. And he said, Master, say on. Jesus proved that he was a prophet. He proved that he knew the thoughts of both the Pharisee and the woman. Now Jesus asked, notice this, he asked permission to speak. Boy, ain't God gracious. Amen. And when he asked it, he said, I've got somewhat to say unto thee. And if we will listen, I'll tell you this morning, Jesus has something to say to you and me. And Simon gave him permission to speak, and we need to give place to God. We really do. Don't think you all got it all figured out. I don't care if you got so many doctor's degrees that you're called Dr. Fahrenheit. I'll tell you right now, buddy, we need to listen to God. Amen. And he gives him a parable. Verse 41, he said, there's a certain creditor which had two debtors, one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Now this parable tells us the difference between God and us. And I hope you listen to this parable. Because God is different, you and me. I'm glad I'm not God, but I'm glad He's not me, because I'd already be in hell. Man, oh man. Long suffering of God. Man, I wish we was more like Him. But He gave this parable, and He said there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed him 500 pence, and the other 50. And the enormous amount of debt represented by the 500, and the minor debt was 50. The woman had an enormous amount of sin, which she pleaded guilty to, which Jesus pardoned. But the few infractions, which the Pharisee didn't really see, caused him to be reproached by Jesus in this parable. And the two debts represented sin. And also, they represented the sense of sinfulness, but the actual guilt only God can measure. You know, I try my best, you know, to categorize sin. I can't. I'm not fit to judge you or me or anybody else. But he said, verse 42, when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. He said, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? And let me say, buddy, some of the greatest sinners, man, they make some of the greatest Christians if you can just get them to Calvary. At least they know they've sinned and they know they've been forgiven. Amen. But all sinners are equally unable to pay their debt to God. The old song said, I owed a debt I could not pay, and He paid a debt He did not owe. But that's what Calvary's all about. He didn't say I made a down payment. He said it's finished. The redemption for man's sin was finished by the one that hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. Now you read your Bible in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and that'll say, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. You want to know why He's forgiven? Believe you me, you didn't deserve it. On a cross, beaten beyond recognition, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. And God said, for your sake I will. Don't forget that verse, Ephesians 4, 32. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. But they're both unable to pay. And the only way these debts can be settled is for God to just forgive them and blot out, you know, their sin. And He frankly did forgive them both. Cancel the debt. I wish somebody canceled my debt. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you imagine somebody called Brother Eddie? Hey, Brother Eddie, don't worry about that mortgage payment. I just paid it off. I say, y'all talking about, take your coat off and woo! Take three or four laps out there and say, what's wrong with him? But you know what? Somebody called me and said, Brother Eddie, that $10, don't worry about it. It'd be all right, and I'd still say amen, but I probably not like I would if somebody said, hey, your mortgage is paid off, boy. Don't worry about it. I'm just trying to get this thought across to you, buddy. Those that know what they've been forgiven of, they love the most. But he frankly forgave them both, canceled their debt, and the large debt as well as the small. God freely forgives those that ask and seek forgiveness. What a Savior we have in Him. Amen. The Bible said He'll no wise turn anyone away. All that come to Him, He'll receive them. Amen. But verse 43, Simon answered and said, well, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. The whole matter became clear when Simon considered the debt, the heavy load of sin. They're the most thankful for the redeeming grace of God. But the one who's lacking conviction, and that is going on today, of sin or the evil of sin, they love little or scarcely at all. They have little sense of any deliverance. I saw people come up here chewing gum, laughing, snickering, looking at their watch. And, man, I'll tell you, you ain't going to find nothing like that. You come up here broke, and He'll make you whole. You come up here thinking God owes you something, and you go... probably going to find heaven brash, amen. Anyway, let me get back. I've got to really hurry here. But I thank God that He's able to forgive much or little. All that repent and come to Him for forgiveness. But that little sense of deliverance, I think a lot of people, they may fall in this category that they profess they know God, but in works they deny Him. Maybe they might have missed it. The Bible does say to examine yourself and prove yourselves and know yourself whether you're saved or not. So make sure you're saved. Don't miss heaven. It ain't worth it. But verse 44, he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gave me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. He turned to that woman, and the reason he did, she's behind him. She's not putting on no show. Man, she's ashamed to even come. She's ashamed. Look him in the face. She's behind him. He had to turn. But when he turned, he said, seest thou this woman? He became face to face with her. Whew. Bless you, Brother Melvin. Woo! Hallelujah! The Bible said he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Amen! We'd be ashamed of him. He'd be ashamed of us. Face to face, Molly. Whew. Hallelujah. He said, I entered into your house. Every opportunity was given you, Simon, to show love. It had been set before him. And the answer was, you gave me no water for my feet, boy. He didn't put forth no acts of honor, appreciation for Jesus coming. Man, I guess he made and thought he was above him. I don't know. But he said she acted in the most humble, respectful manner as possible to me. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came, has not ceased to kiss my feet. This Pharisee didn't even greet him. My granddaughter last night, she gave me a kiss, and then she turned her cheek. I wonder what she was wanting. And I kissed her and I said, honey, I love you. You know what I'm doing? I'm telling her I love her. You know, Simon, he didn't. He didn't even greet the Lord. He didn't even show any love. And this Pharisee, he'd overlooked this because maybe he didn't consider Jesus to be worth any kind of affection or anything. Maybe he only saw Him as a good master or maybe a friend or something like that. He never thought to bestow any honor or to make any welcome necessary with Jesus. You better be careful when it comes to Jesus. Amen. I will tell you right now, if there's one thing you'll do this year, 2013, I don't really want to be here, but since I am here, you better honor Him every day, every breath, everything. Give honor to Him. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 46, He said, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Man, oh man, he's bragging on this girl, Anita. Amen. Verse 47, he said, wherefore I say unto thee, whose sins, which are many, are forgiven. Now he's speaking as God now. For she loveth much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Jesus tells this Pharisee that her sins are forgiven. I bet he didn't really like that. But he who feels he has no need of forgiveness, they don't never get it. But those that come seeking forgiveness can find it. They can find all they want. Amen. But those that treat sin lightly, belittle Christ and the divine nature of God, and have no fruits of repentance. John the Baptist come out of the wilderness spitting and preaching and said, bring forth fruits meant for repentance. The axe laid to the tree. Tell you what, buddy, they come weeping, or they come saying, we want to be baptized, we want to be forgiven. Man, you got through, amen. But there ain't no today, no heart sense, not no heart search and repentance today seeking God. We've come down that Laodicean day. Man, we don't need nothing. We're right for judgment is what we are. But Simon, he didn't have no deep love for Christ, nor did he show any consecration to Him. And he said unto her, verse 48, thy sins are forgiven. Boy, I thank God for them words.
Amen.
Amen. All her black is blotted out. God remembers now her sins no more. She's now become one of the family of God.
Amen.
Amen. Matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 says, we're fellow citizens with the saints.
Amen.
Fellow citizens of the household of God.
Yes.
Amen. I got a home. Yes. Old Reggie Sadler said, I got a home. Amen.
Yes.
I mean a real home. Glory! Mansion Avenue. Some up there got a place up there for Eddie Wade. But, man, this ain't my home no more. I'm not a citizen of this country no more. I'm just sojourning, passing through. Let me get on here. She's now become a child of God. Then, verse 49, and they that sit with me with Him began to say within themselves, here's a bunch of others talking in themselves, who is this that forgives sins also? I'll tell you who it is. It's Jesus. Acts 4, verse 12 says there's no other name given under heaven. Not no other name except that name Jesus. You forget about all Akbog. You forget about the 40 virgins. Forget about all that bunch of junk. There ain't no other name given under heaven but the name Jesus that you can be forgiven your sins. Amen. Alright. No prophet had ever had the power to forgive sins, but he's more than a prophet. Amen. He says to this woman, verse 50, by faith have saved thee. Go in peace. I've been going in peace now for 24 years, and you can too if you go to Jesus, not hypocritically, but come to Him humbly and ask Him to forgive you and save you. Buddy, you can leave with peace. She demonstrated that she had faith by her acts of devotion. She's now saved from her sins and now bidden to go in peace. Now she's got the peace of God. The Bible said there's no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. Then the Bible said in Romans chapter 3, verse 17, the way of peace they've not known. Verse Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, by faith we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus. I tell you right now, you can have peace. If you're lacking peace this morning, forget about Walmart. They don't have it on the shelves. Forget about calling your neighbor and want to borrow some. There's only one place to get peace. You're going to have to go to the Prince of Peace. But I will tell you this, He will give you peace that passes all understanding. The Bible said He'll give you perfect peace. The Bible said He give a perfect peace to them whose mind is stayed upon Him. You can have peace if you want it. Amen. Well, let's shut up right there. And that's a good lesson. I know it was long. But we'll stop right there. And get Brother James, if we'll please.